Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Why Do People Suffer? While it is true that the devil is a defeated foe, he is still running loose on the earth and retains a portion of the spiritual power he used to possess. So how are Christians supposed to deal with Satan? The prophet Zechariah was given a vision of Joshua the high priest being flanked on one side by the angel of the Lord and the devil on the other. The angel did not tell Satan to leave Joshua alone, but asked the Lord to rebuke him instead. When Jesus was confronted and tempted by the devil in the New Testament, he defeated Satan by quoting scriptures. Our Savior did not come to earth to kill the devil, but to destroy his evil works. The day will come when Jesus will cast Satan into the lake of fire, but until then, we have not been given authority to deal directly with the devil. We need to let God the Father rebuke him. However, our ability to wage war against evil spirits is different. Casting out demons was the daily practice of Jesus. He exercised total authority over them and expects us to do likewise. This message is entitled, Satan and Evil Spirits. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And I'm going to do installment number 5 today on why do people suffer. And I'm going to be talking to you about Satan and evil spirits. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to ask you right now to anoint me. Give me the insight, the revelations that you want to be spoken here today. That we will learn what to do, when to do it, and what kind of authority we have. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Over the years, I have been, what you call it, careless. I do not like the devil. There are many times when things happen and I simply speak out how much I hate him. And I want him to be punished. And there have been times I've been trying to attack him. And I realized that I do not have the authority to do that. And I want to share that with you here today. Now, Jesus did not give us a specific teaching in saying, this is how you deal with the devil. We don't have that. He gave us authority over devils, which is the same thing as demons or evil spirits. So in order for us to find out how do we deal with the devil, we got to look in the scriptures to see what the Bible tells us. And the first scripture we have here is in Zechariah chapter 3. And we're going to read here the first 2 verses. And this is a revelation that the prophet Zechariah had. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Even the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, we have here an angel of the Lord, powerful, angelic being. He did not have the authority to say, Satan, get out. Go. Get out of the room. You cannot be here. I take dominion over you. He did not have the authority. He simply must have irritated him. But he said, the Lord rebuke him. Why is that? To understand this, you got to understand that Satan's name used to be Lucifer. He was an angel that had access to the very throne room of God. The Bible describes it as very beautiful, powerful, one of the greatest angels ever made. And this angel had access into the very throne room of God. He would come in. He would communicate with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He would sing. He would lead in worship. He would tell God how great he was, how thankful he was. One of the most powerful, anointed angels. Now one day, he decided this. He looked upon the throne of God. He said, why should I be giving him worship? Look at me. I'm powerful, beautiful, great. Iniquity was found in him. Sin was born. And he said, I'm going to be like the Most High God. I'm going to put my throne above his. I'm going to kick God out. And I'm going to be God. It is obvious that God loved this angel, Lucifer. He made him. And he must have hurt God when Lucifer went back to his home planet Earth and then started traveling in the entire universe, going from angel civilization to angel civilization and trying to build a movement where they would attack God. And that was a war. You have it in the book of Revelation, chapter 12. And then God simply gave order to Michael the archangel to war, to take him down and arrest him. And Lucifer was brought to trial. He used his power to simply put a doubt. He was sentenced to the lake of fire. Eternal punishment. He must have looked up at God and simply said, how can you do that? To cast one of your creatures into ever, forever torment. All the angels heard it, the good and the bad. A doubt came to the mind. Is God righteous? And God simply knew this. He had to deal with that issue. He said his sentence will be stayed. I will prove my righteousness. I will recreate the earth. I will create mankind, Adam and Eve. And through them, I will prove my righteousness. I'm sure the devil must have said this. Well, you got all the power. How can I match your power? I'm defeated. A fire was brought out, burned my beautiful body. How can I compete with you? And this is where we learn it now. God had to limit himself. He had to put a protection around Lucifer or Satan. He had to give him freedom to do certain things. We find that in the book of Job, where he came before the courthouse, got permission to strike Job, but was told you can't kill him. This is what we are fighting. So now, we do not have the power to go after Satan. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan. But he didn't come down to fight Satan. We're going to move on now from verse number 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I've caused your iniquity to pass from you, and be clothed you with a change of raiment. And he said, let them set the fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus is the Lord of hosts. If you will walk in my ways, if you will keep my charge, then you shall also judge my house and shall also keep my courts. And I will give you places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your fellows that sit before you, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, that's the Messiah to come. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, for one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graven thereof, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, should you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. The angel of the Lord now simply said, this is what we're going to do. Joshua, you got to walk in the statutes of the Lord. So the angel of the Lord had to work with Joshua and Israel, having Satan standing next door. Could not remove him. And we simply had to fight. But he could not remove the devil. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4 right now. And you pick it up here from verse 1 through 13. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit of the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Notice now in verse number 2. Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, and the devil tempted him day and night for 40 days. We are not told how that struggle went down, but it's obvious that Jesus came out victorious. After the 40 days of fasting, the body of Jesus was weakened. He was in a condition that the devil thought, I can break him. And the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread. There's nothing more that will irritate you, somebody questioning your authority. Do you have the right to be here? Do you have the money? Are you telling the truth? You know, that's a button that Satan used. And you know that if somebody questioned your authority, if you have a temper, you will fly off and get angry. How did Jesus deal with the devil? He answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Notice now, Jesus didn't say, you stinking, lousy, dirty, rotten scumbag. He didn't do that. He did not humiliate him. He simply said, it is written. And the devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. Jesus answered and said to him, get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He simply said, Satan, just get behind me. It is written. That is the power. That was a tool. That was a weapon Jesus used. The written word. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down from hence. For it is written, Now the devil quotes scriptures. He shall give you an angel charge over you to keep you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. That is written. It is true. Jesus answered unto him, It is said, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. He simply used the word. Satan would misquote, twist the scriptures. But Jesus said, It is written. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. I want you to go down with me in this thinking now. Wouldn't it have been easy for Jesus, being the Son of God, if he, when he started his ministry, would have taken a devil and simply tied him up and put him in a bottomless pit? It would have been a cakewalk for Jesus. But you see, Jesus could not do that. Because the devil has said, See, angels, look at God. Look what he did to me. How can I prove that God is unrighteous when he puts me in the clink? Jesus had to leave him loose. And so we got to understand there's a protection that God has given to the devil. I don't like it, but that's the way it is. Turn to the little book of Jude, verse 9. We read this. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke him. Michael had defeated Lucifer. Michael had captured Lucifer, brought him to the trial. He destroyed his fleet and all his forces. But yet here now, later, he's meeting again the devil. And the devil says, Now, I want to have the body of Moses. They were fighting over that. Michael did not have the authority now to whip the devil. It was after the trial. He said, The Lord rebuke you. In Revelation chapter 20, we're going to find out that the devil eventually is going to be put in the bottomless pit. But until that day, all you and I can do is to say, The Lord rebuke him. When we pray on a daily basis, we need to pray, Father God, protect us from the devil, his fallen angels, principalities, powers, in high places and wicked high places. Because you and I do not have the weapons or the authority to kick the devil around. God has put him in a position where he's allowed to continually do his evil work as he's trying to prove that God is unrighteous. But there will come a day. The last fling that the devil will have before he's going to be locked up is the Antichrist, who he's going to possess. But at the end of the reign of the Antichrist, Jesus coming back, the Antichrist, the false prophet, is put in the lake of fire. And then the devil now will be taken out for 1,000 years. If you read this. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key at a bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nation no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that you must be loosed a little season. Notice now, the devil in himself does not have a lot of power. When God the Father says, tie him up, one angel, not even Michael, just one angel, come down, big chain, grab his neck, chain him up, take him to the bottomless pit, and tell him to shut up. And put a lid on it for 1,000 years. I want you to understand now, we are in a spiritual battle. There is legal ramifications. And God the Father said this, in order for me to vindicate myself, no one can touch the devil until this moment. You can come to me and ask me to rebuke him. I can rebuke him. I can put him in place. But Jesus could not. We could not. The holy angels could not. So we got to learn to walk and know how to fight. In 1 John 3:8, I read the whole verse, but the last part is what I want to have out. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Notice this now. We cannot touch the devil himself, but we can destroy his work. And that's what we are called to do. The earth right now would be like a big courthouse. And you know how things are in a courthouse here in the United States. If you go to Russia, that's the kangaroo courthouse that they have there. So that's a different story. But in the courthouse, the judge cannot rail against the defendant. They have to be courteous. You have the accused person. You have the defense counsel. You have the prosecution. You got witnesses. You got bailiffs. You got the judge. And there is civility in the court. And the purpose is that the prosecution will be able to bring out the evidence in such a powerful way that they can convince the jury that this man is guilty of whatever crime he's accused of. And so they have to convince the jury. So everybody got to be civilized in the courtroom. And this is where we are. Satan is actually the defendant. But he's running his own defense. So we have to understand that God has given him leverum, power to do things in order for God to prove that he's a loser and that God is righteous. So if we attack the devil, we actually attacking God in this way, that God cannot prove his righteousness. So in order for us to line up with God, we got to learn our authority. So when it comes to the devil, we need to simply say, God, protect us. The Lord rebuke him. But we cannot rebuke him. We cannot order him around. I've done that. And I realize that I got a lot of incoming fire, and I got a lot of things torn up, because I did engaged in a warfare that I was not commissioned to fight. Let's talk about evil spirits now. So we have now a hierarchy. We got the devil, we got fallen angels, and then we got evil spirits. Three different entities. And the only entities that Jesus had authority over was over the evil spirits. He came to destroy the works of Satan. The demons are the foot soldiers. They are the grunts. They carry out the dirty work of the devil. The devil can only be in one place at one time. I don't believe that any one of us have ever encountered the devil. He's going after the big boys, kings, dictators, presidents. Those are the ones he goes after, because only be in one place at one time. The fallen angels are not on the surface. They're in the air. The principalities in the air. And we do not have authority to bust them around or to knock them around. Our authority lays on the surface of the earth. This is where we have our authority. So we need to ask God to protect us from these other forces above us. Let's start in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8. And some of you might be scratching your head and saying, man, I don't know about this. But read the scriptures I just took you through. At verse number 26. And they arrived in the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, they met him out of the city, a certain man, which had devils. Devils, evil spirit, demons, the same thing. And wore no clothes, neither abode in the house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God, Most High? I beseech you, torment me not. Now this evil spirit knew about the trial. He knew that they were set free to do damage. And he said to Jesus, why have you come to torment me before my time? For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes he had caught him. He was kept bound with chains and fetters. He breaks the bands, were driven of the devil into the wilderness. Let me tell you this. Evil spirit got supernatural power that you and I cannot match. They can break chains. They have supernatural strength. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion. Legion consisted of 7,000 men, because many devils were entered to him. This man had 7,000 demons living in him. If you don't understand this, most people we take through deliverance usually have anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 demons in them. People are loaded down with evil spirits. There's a scarcity of human bodies. And demons are like fleas. You got zillions of them. And the demons besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. Now, the demons said, we don't want to go to prison. We don't want to go to prison. This is before the cross. Jesus had not yet dethroned Lucifer. He had not taken away the earth for the reign of Lucifer. And there was a herd of many swine feeding in the mountain, and he besought him that he would suffer them to enter to them. And he suffered them. They simply said, let us go into the swine, pigs. Jesus said, okay, you can go into the swine. Then went the devils out of the man into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Why did he do that? They got loose again. They were loose. They could not go whatever they wanted to do to find more people. Let me talk to some of you that are in law enforcement or peace officers, whatever name. If you're a police officer, ambulance driver, a fireman, you are coming on top. Let's say there's been an accident. People are dead. There are clusters, thousands of demons at that accident. They just got out of the body of the people who got killed. And they're standing around. And as the first responders are coming in, these demons are saying, we want another body. And that's why policemen, firemen, ambulance drivers, after a number of years, are demonized. They have a high suicide rate, high divorce rate, difficulty. They're drinking. And the reason is that we have not understood that we put these men in front of demons and we're not telling them about Jesus. We're not giving them protection. Same thing with prison guards. Same for soldiers when you battle. People are killed around you. Demons are coming out. That's why when soldiers come back from the battlefield, they have what they call PST. But it's actually demonic. And they need deliverance. Evil spirits never questioned the authority of Jesus. They had no choice but to get out of the people they possessed. So we turn to Matthew chapter 8 now, to verse number 16. When evil was come, they brought to him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirit with his word. And he healed all that were sick. That he might be fulfilled with the spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmity and bare our sicknesses. So Jesus simply cast the demons out. Some of you might be saying, now, where am I going with this now? I need to understand this. Satan, God has put a limit on what Satan can do. He cannot do everything he wants to do. There's a limit to it. Demons are fair game for us. We have full right to simply cast them out, put them in prison. Go after them every time we see a demon-possessed person. We have the right to go after the demons. That authority we do have. Let's turn to Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought to him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But the Pharisees heard, they said, his fellow did not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, Jesus transferred his authority. And that's important. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 10. I want you to understand something right now. The Bible tells us there were evil spirits when Jesus was here on earth. We do know that King Saul was struck by an evil spirit. We know that it talks about evil spirits in the Old Testament. Jesus didn't say, you know, well, there are no demons, you know, this is the imagination. He said there are demons, there are evil spirits. Where did they come from? We don't know. We can guess where they come from, but we don't know. All we know is they are here. See, it really doesn't matter where they come from. What matters is we have to deal with them. And we have the authority. Let me share the authority with you right now. Chapter 10, verse number 1. And when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 7. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely received, freely give. Now, that was the mission that Jesus had. That was the mission he gave to his apostles. Turn out to Luke chapter 9. And we pick it up here in verse number 1 through 2. Then he called the 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We not only got the power to cast out demons, we got the power to heal. Healing is a gift that God has given to every believer in Christ. The problem is, we don't have faith for it. I want to go now to Luke 10. This is the apostles. Now we talk about the 70 others. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Therefore said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but labors are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Then he gave me instruction what to do. After some time, maybe a month, 2 months, they come back. In verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now we have protection. We have protection against scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. So we can ask God to protect us, Lord, from the devil, protect us from fallen angels. But demons, we attack. You don't deal with them. You simply said, shut up, get out. I send you to prison. That's the power we have. Why? This doesn't make sense. If there were evil spirits on earth when Jesus was here, and he, every day in his ministry, cast them out, where did these evil spirits go? Well, Jesus, after his crucifixion, he was resurrected and he went to heaven. Did Jesus remove the demons? No. They're still here. But this is the insanity of every denomination that we have, a Christian denomination. They simply said, demons do not exist. When I was in seminary, I was told Jesus was superstitious. He was a man of his time. He simply believed what the people believed. He didn't know what they were doing. So whatever he cast out, that didn't exist. That's what every pastor is taught in seminaries around the world. Unless you go to some type of a full gospel ministry where they teach the whole word of God. So that's why when in a church, when people have problems with demons, they are sent to a psychiatrist, they are sent to a psychologist, they are simply put on a 72-hour hold, and they put them down with drugs, and then they talk to them and try, you know, to help them, you know, to overcome this stupidity of hearing voices. There are no voices, you know what I mean? You know, we got to adjust you. You don't adjust demons. You got to eliminate them. So, we have that authority. So the 70 elders were so excited. Look at verse number 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, have revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. The people that are educated, they think they are learned people. They think they know a lot. God simply says, I'm going to hide this stuff from them. They don't understand. But I will give it to those that are babes. What does it mean to be a babe? It means that you say, Jesus, whatever you say, I believe it, I will do it, and I have faith that it is true. That is a babe. We are simply saying, if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Let me take it up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I'm glad I had Jesse bring his testimony today, since we're going to be talking about this. In Matthew chapter 28, we read this from verse 18. And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's after the resurrection. Jesus said, all power is now given unto me in heaven, in earth. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, he says, I'll have the keys to death and hell. Jesus is now supreme. Satan is defeated. He can only do as much as God allows him to do, and as much as we allow him to do. We should ask God every day, I do that. God, protect me from the devil, the fallen angels, protect me, because I don't have the authority to attack them. I need your protection. I want to be covered in Jesus. When we do that, Jesus put a cover over us. Verse 19. Go you therefore and teach all nations, not to the Jews only, but to all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. A lot of churches do that. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Look at these verses. Teaching them to observe some things? No. Observe all things. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. There is a transfer of power from generation to generation. The question now is this. What are we going to do about it? Let me take you to the Gospel of John now, chapter 14. We're going to pick it up in verse number 11. And there, I want you to turn off your unbelief in the name of Jesus. Shut the devil up. Just turn off unbelief right now. And for a change, listen with your spirit. Jesus said, believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, whereas believe me for the very work's sake. He's saying that to you. Believe me, Jesus said, that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. Verily, verily I said to you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let me read that one more time. I want you not to hear this. I want you to see this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, each one of us here in the chapel, each one of you watching or listening, you, he that believes on me. Are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Then he's talking to you. He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. You know what he told me at the seminary? These verses are referring to that Jesus knew that in the latter years, we would have radio, television, airplanes, and all kind of different things, and we would have medical doctors and stuff like this. And that's the greater things we are doing, what Jesus said. You know what I call that? Hogwash. In Swedish, gristvätt. Sounds good, doesn't it? Now, I mean, that's stupidity. Jesus meant exactly what he said. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You heard Jesse give his testimony today. About a year ago, something like that, he was sitting in what we call the execution chamber here at the production center. This is where we do deliverance. It's also our tool shed. So we share that. We have tools, you know, to get it pretty nasty, you know. We had some big stuff to do, work with. But Jesse was there, sitting there. I can't remember who was with me. I had a couple of people with me. Hendrick was there. And we knew this, that in ourselves we do not have the power. Here was a man that was demonized, could not really function properly, and had really suffered for years. But we knew this, that we lined him up with the Word of God, and then later we begin to command the demons to go, using the name of Jesus, believing what Jesus said, it shall be done, and guess what happened? The demons had to go. Every time we're in the execution chamber, we do the same thing over and over again. And it works. Why? Because we have faith in Christ. If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here you go now. If you should ask anything in my name, I will do it. This also goes for sick. And I've been battling now about 8 weeks, and I'm so much better. But every day, I got to fight the enemy and say, no, 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 I'm not going to go down. I'm going to come up. I'm going to regain my strength. I'm going to get it back. I'm not done. I'm just getting started. And then in verse number 15, Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. We read that verse and it says, okay, I don't want to smoke, I don't want to drink, I don't want to curse, I'm not going to lie and so on. But part of his commandments was cast out demons, pray for the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Do we keep those commandments? No. And the reason for that is, we don't think it works. Sad. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I would pray the Father, he should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells within you. And shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. If you want to have victory, if you really want to be a living Christian, you got to say this. I'm going to begin to doubt all my doubts. I'm just going to doubt the doubts. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, in the Bible. Now, if you don't have a King James Bible, you know, you're out to the toilets to begin with, because you don't know what is in the Bible. But put your faith in him and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, I'm wrapping up another sermon. And somebody says, okay, that was powerful. Yeah, he was animated today. I didn't have a red tie on, black suit, but, you know, not too bad for a gray tie, you know, different suit. But, you know, you hear a sermon after sermon. You go listen to this or that. You hear music after music, song, good song, gospel songs. And what we do is this. We hear, we hear, we see, and we do nothing. When I was in college, and later on in seminary, I was told that there are certain people that are what you call professional students. They simply never leave the universities. They get one degree, and then they get another degree. And then they get another degree, and then they go to another university, get another degree. And they keep getting degrees until they get to 65, and then they retired as a professional student. Never done anything in their lives. But they got 30 different degrees. They speak 8 languages. And they got a great intellect, but they are useless because they don't produce anything. Brother Thomas has a business. He's a stucco man. Put on a lot of mud, plaster. And you know what? We have been talking over the years. And when he hires a man to do plastering, he wants to have a man that got some strength, that can stay for 8 hours to put mud on the wall. He doesn't want a guy that says, you know, well, yeah, I know how to put the mud on the wall. You know, you put it up this way, that way, you know, and tell him all how it's done, you know. He says, tell him, say, shut up and do it. Put the mud on. That's, you know, otherwise they're not going to pay you. And this is what I want to really drill into your head. Most of you simply say, oh, I believe that. Oh, God is so good, you know. Praise God, hallelujah, this and that. But you never put mud on the wall. If you love me, keep my commandments. Here's what I want you to take home with you today. We learned this. When it comes to the devil, we can't attack him. We can't boss him around. We cannot tell angels, good angels or bad angels, what to do. Angels do not take orders from us. We got to go to the Father. We got to ask God to send his angels out. He will do it. All we got power over are over evil spirits. We don't have to ask for permission. Father God, can I cast these demons out? He said, don't ask me. I told you to do it. That's your job. That's what I want you to understand today. I don't want to respect the devil. I hate him. I loathe him. But since God put him in that position, I simply had to keep my mouth shut and do what I'm supposed to do. Destroy his works. I can destroy his works. Someday, he's going to get creamed. And that's when we all going to sing. We're not going to sing Amazing Grace. We're going to sing Glory to God. He's done. Dip him in the lake. More power to it, more fire, more heat on him. That's what we're going to sing. But in the meantime, notice you have power over evil spirits. Either you control them or they control you. You cannot lead them and say, well, I'm not going to mess with them. It doesn't work that way. It's like you got a pack of stray dogs. You cannot coexist with them. They would eat your food. They will do whatever they want. You either control them, shoot them, get rid of them, or they control you. That's what I want you to take home. So now, have you heard enough sermons? Have you read enough of the Bible? Have you prayed enough? Time to go. Roll up the sleeves and do the work of God. That's my encouragement to you. So what about you that are not saved? What do you do? Well, you need to get saved first. You need to get transferred to the kingdom of Satan, to the kingdom of God. And here's how you do it. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and that he will save you. And say, Jesus, come on in, Jesus. Save me. I want to be born again. And he will. In a few moments, when we finish here, you will have Charles Terrell come. You will not see him, but you will hear him. And he will take you through salvation, step by step, and finally pray with you, so you can know that today you are saved. If you get saved today, call us, write us, because I'd like to pray with you, encourage you, and send you something in the mail. Praise the Lord. Here is Brother Thomas.
First off, I want to say thank you to all the people that prayed for me this week. And when I looked upon some emails that came my way, I saw a lot of faith. I saw power. I saw love. I saw wisdom, knowledge, discernment, a lot of things. So when I read those, that's what I was able to pick up between the lines. And so that was a blessing to me. And so I thank you. And it was good to come here today. When I showed up, I saw three guys sitting here to my right, and I was blessed to see those three guys. So I was blessed to hear Jesse's testimony too. It was strong. So I also want to give a quick update on Francis Schaeffer Cox. You've heard me talk about him many times because I have been commissioned to pray for him and to intercede for him on and to work on his behalf. He's sitting in a prison cell. He was named after the famous preacher Francis Schaeffer. His dad is a preacher, and his grandfather's a preacher who just died. And I don't believe he belongs in prison. I believe they lied and framed him because he was a powerful speaker, and he was running for political office too. Now, I don't believe God's done with him yet either, and I believe he's going to be released. And I pray that justice will be served against the people that did frame him. And today we see in our headlines the corruption in the FBI and in the police departments and in the political offices all over this country. So, it's not, the light is being shown on that, so I'm thankful for that. And I also want to thank Henry, who took the time to pray for our election that's coming. Amen. And it's sad to say we got a lot of scoundrels that are running for office. We need to... Christians to step up and take those positions and wrestle them back from the enemy. And at the same time, we do have some upright, good believers in there. So we want to remember as Christians all over this land to pray for this upcoming election. And also, thank God we didn't get Queen Jezebel for president here in the United States. So, That should be a daily thanks going out for that, that we did not get that wicked woman. So, with that said, I want to give an update on Francis Schaeffer Cox. What they did is, they do this quite often too, is they'll take a prisoner and he'll be in an appeal process, and he's working to get justice in the injustice system. And so what they'll do is they'll pick him up and move him, transfer him. Okay, so then that puts a huge hindrance on what he's working on. So that's what they did with Schaeffer Cox. They moved him from Terre Haute, from Illinois to Terre Haute, Indiana. There's two CMU prisons in the United States, and the CMU is a communication management unit that they've developed. It's a prison inside the prison. And they put inspirational speakers in these prisons, in these units. So they took Schaeffer Cox and they moved him from Illinois, Marion, Illinois, to Terre Haute, Indiana. And doing everything they can to keep him down. But there's a lot of brothers that are praying and sisters that are praying for Francis Schaeffer Cox. And we will see him released. So that's the word on him. So I'm going to pray and close this out. Father God, thank you for opportunity to be here and to speak and to broadcast and to put out the word, to receive the word, to hear the word, to practice the word. And we can, like Pastor John said, we can see it, hear it, talk about it, but if we never practice it, it's worthless. It's just like freedom of speech. You can have it, but unless you actually use it, you're not, it's of no benefit to you. So let us practice our freedom of speech throughout the land, and never surrender that God-given right, Lord. We thank you for that. If people don't like to hear it, then I guess that's their tough luck. And we thank you, Father God, for a good message today, learning and discerning what is happening in the spirit world that we are walking in. And we thank you for the Bible that continues to manifest itself to us, giving us a better education. And your word says that your people perish for lack of knowledge. Let not us be counted in that group. We want the knowledge, and we want the revelation, and we want the wisdom that we can go forth and be mighty warriors. So we thank you for this. We thank you for all things. We have much to be thankful for as far as each one of us individually in this room. I know we're all eating good. It's hot outside, but it's cold in here. And we have the sun, the heat from the sun converting that energy into cold, into air conditioning. That's a big blessing right there. But we have vehicles to drive. Nobody had to walk here today. We have gas in the car, you know, even though it's that terrible gas that they manufacture in California. And we have nice clothes. We're not here. We didn't show up in rags. We have so many things that that are blessings that have been bestowed upon us. And we want to remember every nitpicking one of them And we thank you for these things, Lord. And we pray for this election also, that there's going to be a turnover. There's going to be an upset. That the those that think they're going to win by blasting Donald Trump in California, they're blasting. They're always saying, "I'll stand against Donald Trump, and I'm your man." And they're advertising that. So we come against those that that want to line up with the evil. And we thank you, Father God, that they'll lose their elections. And we thank you for some righteous people gaining ground. And also we want to pray against this this destructive program they put together in California where the top two vote-getters go forth. And they've tried to ace out the Republican Party. And shame on the Republican Party for not getting their act together. So we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. We have praying for a good turnout on this election. And we lift it up to you in Jesus' name. Give us a good governor. Get rid of Jerry Brown. So if it's Brown, flush it. That's the term in California. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the fifth part in the series, Why Do People Suffer?, and was entitled, Satan and Evil Spirits. The prophet Zechariah was given a vision of Joshua the high priest being flanked on one side by the angel of the Lord, and the devil on the other. The angel did not tell Satan to leave Joshua alone, but asked the Lord to rebuke him instead. When Jesus was confronted and tempted by the devil, He defeated Satan by quoting scriptures. Jesus has been given authority to destroy the works of the devil, and that authority has also been transferred to the church. While we cannot directly attack the devil, we can ask God to rebuke him. We have the ability to destroy his evil works through prayer and leading unsaved people to Christ, and the day will come when Jesus casts Satan into the lake of fire. Our ability to wage war against evil spirits is different. Casting out demons was the daily practice of Jesus. He exercised total authority over them and expects us to do likewise. It is a sin when a Christian refuses to help those who are afflicted. When it comes to deliverance, Jesus never intended that only certain people should do it. It is the duty of every Christian. This mandate has continued unbroken over the centuries and will not stop until Jesus returns a second time. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1654. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.